Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerf Right Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 244 of Nerd Pride Radio. 244, according to Urban Dictionary, it's code for the word ass. Because, you know, when you can't write out ass, but you want to say it anyway, you know, but because of language filters and stuff, so instead you type out the at symbol, followed by $2 signs, and it looks like ass, and then you can giggle. Well, what about when you might get in trouble just for typing even that, but you still want to say ass? Well, then you use 244 because the at symbol is right above the 2, and those dollar signs are right above the 4. So, 244, ass. It's perfect. So sneaky. So, ask me how I'm doing today.
How are you doing today?
I am awesome! My name is Mike Jones, and I am a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus. There's like 7 other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to hang around about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore. My co-host this week, it's Junior Missions Operations Officer Nermit Bundeloy. And before we get started, that's right, it's time for yet another installment in our all-too-frequent segment, Mike Was Wrong! Okay, remember last week when I said I watched Willow Creek and it wasn't a great movie, but it was a good movie and there was some parts of it that I really liked, and I thought there was some of it that was really masterful and I was really impressed with Bobcat Goldthwait's work in it? Well, apparently I was wrong because my brother Kyle wrote in and said, no, Willow Creek was terrible and boring. And terrible and boring. I love Bobcat. I love God Bless America. Willow Creek was awful. Okay, so apparently I was wrong. Don't go watch Willow Creek. I don't know what I was thinking. But also, new to this segment, Aiden was wrong! Thank you for laughing at that. So, right, I know, it's not all that new. But it's new to the podcast. We were talking about Super Smash Bros. Last week, and he mentioned that Luigi wasn't in the early versions, and his own brother had to write in to say, yeah, no, Aiden was wrong. Luigi's been in every single iteration of Smash Bros. So, there you go. Take care of it. Oh, and by the way, speaking of Smash Bros., since Dave failed to offer a response to our challenge within the allotted time limit, he has admitted defeat, and clearly, it's Super Smash Bros., so we win. All right, now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and then the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. Straight into it. First up, my science corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Okay, so a couple of things that happened recently that surprised me. And the first one is about scientists who were giving ecstasy to octopuses. You might have seen this. I saw it several different places. I think the first time I heard it was on National Public Radio. And apparently, scientists were studying the effects of ecstasy on various creatures, and so they gave ecstasy to octopuses. And the end result was that ecstasy makes octopuses very, very cuddly. Like, They just want to be close to each other, and like more so because octopuses are normally very solitary creatures, and they try to avoid one another most of the time, unless they're on ecstasy, in which case, yeah, they're all for the cuddling. And so, to me, I first heard that report and I thought, oh, okay, so it's the same effect it has on human beings. So, wow, that was no surprise at all. But it turns out I was really wrong about that because the scientists in question were all amazed because while it seemed like kind of a duh item to me, to them, they're like, no, the octopus brain and the human brain are so completely different. Like, yes, they have extremely complex brains, but nothing like ours. I mean, nothing in form, there's, you know, very few recognizable structures that are comparable between the two. So, you know, they operate on different proteins, different meat, basically. And yet somehow you introduce this particular drug and it has the same effect on them that it does on us. I mean, there are lots of intoxicants that don't affect even, you know, like catnip. You know, look at what catnip does to felines, and yet everybody else, nothing. You know, nobody else gets anything out of it but them. So how weird that we have an intoxicant that works identically on humans and octopuses. It was actually, that is a great question. That it has been octopi for a long time, and then there was a consensus that the people who decided it was octopi were doing it because they thought it was Latin, and it's not Latin, it's Greek, so that it actually should be octopodes. And then we decided that we were just going to go with octopuses because it was just easier. So at least that's the way it goes. So now I think octopuses and octopi are both considered acceptable. So I think. But either way, I don't know. I have no idea about cactus. All I know is that the article that I first heard on National Public Radio about this referred to them as octopuses repeatedly. So therefore, I'm saying octopuses because they're smart, and I want to look like I'm smart, too. So, anyway, yes, and saying pusses is just so much fun. The point was is that I just kind of made this assumption, and then when they got to the punchline of the whole octopus story, it was like I realized that, oh, I was just making assumptions that just, of course this is going to be true, and yet, no, I was completely and totally wrong, and it kind of shook me a little bit to go, oh, yeah, I guess I can't just assume stuff like that. The other one that happened similarly is they were talking about the idea of people who have been blind since birth, and then they gain their vision. You know, if they know, they know what a cube is. They understand the structure of a cube. They can feel a cube and tell you it's a cube. So would they be able to then visually, once they see it, would they be able to make that same connection and go, okay, visually, yes, that's the sort of thing I was feeling and thus recognize that it's a cube. And to me, I was like, yeah, well, of course they're going to be able to. Apparently this was like an old discussion, 100 years back when people were trying to discuss whether or not visualization, could work that way for someone who had not experienced it before. And they did all sorts of terrible experiments on different animals to figure out what they did and didn't learn.
And I think no.
Right. And Lisa says no.
Because my students that get cochlear implants have to learn how to hear.
Right. Okay, see? Exactly. And thus I realized that my... when they actually came up with it, it was like, no, I clearly... You know, when they've actually had this happen, people who have regained their sight, or as Lisa says, regained their hearing, it's like, no, they have to learn how to use that new sense, and they're not going to make that right. And for a lot of them, they struggle with it for the rest of their lives. I mean, yes, you know, they have the sense now, they can use it, it helps them, but it's not, not second nature to them the way it would be to someone who was born with it. And I realized that I was coming from such a place of ableist privilege, if you would, that I just assumed that, well, of course, because, you know, look, I can certainly tell something by touch and then recognize visually that that's the same item that I had, you know, why wouldn't you? Apparently I'm an idiot. So, it was just a couple of items this week that just shook me about, just the assumptions that I make and realizing that I really need to be more careful about that. I really need to rethink, some of these things and be more careful in my snap judgments about stuff. So it was interesting.
Included. So,
What?
In our marriage. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, no. Now, look, in our marriage, I mean, look, I've known you long enough to know that I'm pretty much always right. So, wow. Okay, see, she laughed. I guess I'm good now. All right. But that's it for the Science Corner. Next up.
And now for something completely different.
Right, now for something completely different. Hey, guess what? I went to another circus. So, turns out they had a little traveling circus come around, and it is the Cirque Italia. I think it's pronounced Cirque Italia. I have no idea. Anyway, this circus comes around, and it's like, it wants to be like a discount version, a light version of the Cirque du Soleil. Oh, I guess it is Cirque. All right, how about that? It wants to be, you know, classy like that, but, you know, on a small scale. It doesn't have the huge production values that the Cirque du Soleil would have, but it's certainly better than, you know, the little local traveling shrine circus or whatever it is you see. And God, it was really impressive. We paid, you know, this is a, they actually put up a big top. They put up a tent in the mall parking lot of all places. And, they put up a tent and they had the seating in there for about 800 people. And there wasn't a bad seat in the house, really. I mean, they had the different levels of, you know, you could pay $40 for the front row seats, 30 in the middle, or you pay 15 to sit out in the high bleachers, but none of them were bad seats. And if you looked around town, every business in town had, free children's tickets, for the circus laying all over. So it was always a deal of if you buy an adult ticket, you get a children's ticket for free. So essentially, you know, half price. So me and Lisa took Eli and Noah to it, and Eli, like he does with almost everything in the world, grumbled about it, because he's 15, grumbled about it that, oh, God, do I have to? This is, oh, can't I just stay home? And then once he gets there, he has a great time. And he did. We all did. It was wonderful. It was exactly what it set out to be. It was, very much a small circus, but, I don't know, classy. It was, you know, they had a clown who came out, and he was kind of in between every act. So while they're cleaning up the stage and setting up the equipment for the next act, the clown kind of mixes with the audience and does a few little tricks and stuff. And he was pretty clever. A lot of it you could see coming, but, you know, that's because he's a clown. But the kids ate it up. I mean, he was just very funny, and he had the appropriate number of fart jokes and this kind of stuff. And it was cute. But then the acts themselves, they had, you know, they had acrobats and a high wire and a juggler and a, they had one act that, the kids were saying they've seen something like it on, America's Got Talent, where they come out and it's a laser show, and there's these guys in these, you know, light covered suits, and when they reach out, they grab one of the lasers out of the air, and then the way the trick works is they can actually grab lasers from the air and then spin them around and do tricks with them, and it was a really cool little setup. And so we had just a good time. There was, you know, the tightrope walker, he's building up for his most difficult trick, and he winds up falling off the wire without a net, and oh God, catches himself at the last minute, which I'm sure is what he does at every show, but it built up the appropriate amount of tension so that when you're watching the final act, everyone's so worried that he's going to hurt himself and so relieved when he finally makes it across. You know, the guy who's running on the big wheel, not a big wheel, it's a huge, like, hamster wheel. Anyway, it's a big wheel that rotates around this thing, and so he winds up running around the inside of it and then the outside of it, and he's, you know, 50, 60 feet up in the air, and every once in a while, as the thing's going fast, it looks like he's going to fall off the back, and, you know, it's all tense and scary, and it's just, you know, edge of your seat spills and thrills. It was really fun. So my point with all of this is, God, I like having little shows like this available. I like having things where, yeah, for $20 a person, we can go to this, or we can go to, you know, like the show I went to with Aiden and Jacob the other day, or when I can go see some smaller mid-range or independent band and watch them at some local, you know, 300-seat venue, 500-seat venue for $15-$20 a head, rather than paying, you know, whatever you wind up paying for huge concerts anymore, anywhere from, you know, $120 to $300 for concert tickets. It's nice to be able to see these little shows. I really enjoy that. And this was cool. So we had a good time. All right. But that's it. Next up, Bread and Butter. It's not Bread of Butter. It's My Word of Mouth. Bread and Butter is the song, which, you know, goes right here. Right. Like I tell you guys in the credits every week, you know, there's lots of ways you can support a podcast, but one of the best ways you can help out an independent artist, maker, creator on the internet is just word of mouth. Just, you know, if you're enjoying it, spread the word, let other people discover it and enjoy it the same way you have, help them build an audience. That is one way among many that you can help out artists in this world. And so therefore, I have a podcast and I get to share stuff that I love. So that's what I'm doing right here. The one I want to talk about this week is a podcast called Imaginary Worlds with host Eric Malinsky. And, Imaginary Worlds is, as he says, it's about, these worlds that we create and why we choose to suspend our disbelief and get immersed in them. And, he does, you know, usually it's talking about books. So it's a lot of literary stuff, but he also talks about movie worlds that have been created. And, it's just fascinating stuff. And, you know, what helps make a world more real, or what is unique about certain things. Like, he did a whole episode on fantasy world maps, because, you know, God, every good fantasy novel from when I was a kid would have the big map in the front, and if it didn't have the map, and I'm in a strange land and I don't have a map, I was always disappointed. So they always have these big fantasy maps, and he talks about, you know, goes to the people who designed those sorts of maps and what they put into it, and how they create it to give it the character of the world that they're representing, and that sort of thing. He talked about Dungeons and Dragons, that he had, as, you know, a 30-something adult, he's never played Dungeons and Dragons in his life, but the idea of this created world, it's fascinating, and people have talked to him about it so many times that he thought, you know what, for the podcast, I'll just go to my local game store, see if I can join a role-playing group, and just see what it's all about and see what happens. And that was a couple of years ago that he did that episode. 3 years ago? I can't remember. I've been listening a long time. And he did that one, joined a group, and it was a fascinating episode. Well, he just recently revisited it, and he's still playing with the same group of people. They created a new world right after that one, but the one that they started right after is the one that they're still playing now, and talked about how much they love their characters and how they go about creating this world as a shared experience, and it's fascinating stuff. So, again, it is the Imaginary Worlds podcast hosted by Eric Malinsky, and he's just really interesting. He shares my interests in all sorts of fantasy and sci-fi stuff, and so therefore this is right up my alley. I really enjoy listening to him. So, you know, here I am spreading the word. Go check him out. Listen to Imaginary Worlds. Give it a couple episodes and see what you think. Like I say, he's a really interesting guy. So there you go. And then that's it. This is going to be, I don't know if I told you before, it's going to be a short episode this week, so we're going to go straight into the Pod-O-Matic. Hot dog, this is the Nerd Pride Radio Pod-O-Matic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Pod-O-Matic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me hey, Ron, about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, a private message on my forums, I will add it to my Pod-O-Matic list, because Pod-O-Matic is about whatever you want it to be. And the first one is from Ronster. It's number 67. And Ronster says, what are some things you do to stay mentally sharp and healthy? First off, staying mentally sharp is a thing that is important to me. I have seen dementia creep up on and claim relatives of mine, and therefore it worries me that that's in my family history. And so all relevant studies show that, you know what, doing exercises to help keep your mind sharp will help slow down the progress of dementia ultimately. It's not going to stop it. I mean, if you've got Alzheimer's in your future or whatever, then, you know, you're not going to make it go away, but you can certainly delay the effects. And so, therefore, for me, one of the biggest ones is just playing games. I mean, look, also staying engaged, educating myself as much as possible, reading, listening to podcasts, sharing with people online. But also, I love playing games, and I love a variety of games. I love having different challenges and different puzzles and things to work out. I enjoy just traditional puzzles of all sorts, you know, pen and paper, word puzzles, this kind of stuff. But also, one of my favorites, and this is just, it just should have gone in the bread and butter segment. If you get a chance, Mind Your Decisions, by Presh Talwalkar. Mind Your Decisions is a YouTube channel, and he comes out with once or twice a week a new math puzzle. And for me, it is every single time one of these comes out, it's a math, mind bender puzzle of some sorts. And sometimes they're super easy. All right. Every once in a while, they get one that I'm like within 20 seconds, I'm like, oh, well, there's how I'm going to solve it. And then sure enough, I work it out. Yeah, that was easy. And then there's others that I can work through them for like 20, 30 minutes and maybe I get close, or even if I don't come up with a solution, I've got this whole page full of equations and little diagrams of triangles and arcs and all this stuff. And I have a lot of fun and I learn a lot. And then I watch the solution and go, oh crap, I could have done that. So Mind Your Decisions is a great thing. I love math puzzles. And so I love doing that. Things like that. It changes over time. You know, there's some activities like, Sudoku I used to do on a regular basis. And we would have, we used to put it up on a big board at work so that, over break, people could come down and we could all work the puzzles together, and it was kind of a social thing, as well as a mental exercise for us. But, you know, that eventually the fad for that passed, and, you know, we moved on to other stuff. So it changes over time, but again, games, puzzles, just lots of self-education. That's me. 55 is from Kyle, and Kyle says, okay, just go with me on black holes for a second here, okay? If we lived in a two-dimensional world, but a three-dimensional object like the sun sat just above our plane of existence, gravity would draw our dimension upwards, stretching our two-dimensional space and contorting it with its three-dimensional gravity, right? Potentially, although, again, when you talk about if you're talking about it in that term, then your two-dimensional slice of the world winds up being literally just that. It is a cross-section of a three-dimensional universe. So it's not a two-dimensional universe itself. It is just a cross-section of a three-dimensional universe that you happen to be trapped on. But yes, I'll go with you. All right, I'll say that. And yes, in that particular case, I don't know that the cross-section necessarily would pull you upwards. Because, I mean, wouldn't the gravity lines pull you towards the center that it hovers over? But, oh, maybe. All right, anyway, let's see. So, aren't black holes just fourth-dimensional objects exerting force on our universe just outside our plane of existence? I mean, you're high too, right? Yeah, dude, no. No, they're not. No, they, look, do they cause some sort of disruption in the fabric of our space-time? Possibly. It's, you know, the singularity is the place where a lot of our traditional mathematics around physics breaks down on us, where we start dealing with infinities that we can't handle and that kind of stuff. I think. I don't know. I'm not a physicist. I'm just going by, you know, what I was able to glean from the Cliff's Notes of Stephen Hawking's books. So, honestly, I could be way off here. But, dude, no. No, I'm not high at all. God, so you have to warn me about this so that, you know, so we can get simpatico before we get started. Sorry. 68 is, I don't know how to use a scroll bar. There it is. 68 is from Mrs. Darks. Mrs. Darks says, would you consider trying mustache wax? No. I mean, yeah, okay, look, yes, I would consider trying it, but I would never use it long term. I mean, I would do it as a goof just to see what happens. But, again, you know, if I gotta be putting product into my mustache, it defeats the purpose of growing a beard and mustache in the first place, which is that I'm lazy and I don't like shaving. So by not shaving, I don't have to put in as much work. Alright, if I have to wind up putting product into my facial hair and I have to wind up grooming it every day. I might as well just shave at that point. It's just, oh, I mean, yeah, I'd consider it, but I wouldn't do it long term. It's just not my style. 36. 36 is from Ronster again. All right. Ron says, without resorting to medical exams, can you prove to us some way that you are not a space alien? Okay. The preponderance of evidence states that aliens likely have not visited this Earth and likely are not on this Earth. Therefore, I am not a space alien. All right. But again, all I can give you is, you know, the preponderance of evidence. So it's, you know, what? At that point, it's what? 1 in a billion chance that maybe I'm an alien? 1 in a trillion? It's a, so you're saying there's a chance. Yeah, I'm saying there's a chance, but it's so minuscule as to, you know, it's like, you know, putting all your life savings down on the chance of winning the Powerball. Sort of long shot data. I mean, really, it's not proof, but it is overwhelming. I mean, like, it behooves you to live your life as if I'm not an alien, because I'm probably almost certainly not an alien. That's the best I can give you. I can't prove it, though. And besides, wait. What? Look, if I'm an alien who's so convincing that I look and act like a human, so much so that you think I am a human, why do you think that a medical exam would somehow prove anything? Like, if I can fake the human being, personality and physical appearance on the outside so well, you assume I wouldn't be able to get the inside down as well? You think I'm not that good? Really? I mean, good Lord, I'm walking amongst you like the lizard people, and yet, oh, wow, your lack of faith is... Yeah, exactly. Your lack of faith is disturbing. 23, my favorite number. 23 is... Oh, there it is. 23 is from Kyle. And Kyle says, have we hit a point of cultural saturation with three named celebrities? When I was a kid, if you had three names, it meant you were a hick. Jim Bob Skeeterman, or a boxer. Marvelous Marvin Hagler. Enough already with three names.
Killer.
Right. Yeah, exactly. As my wife points out, or a serial killer, duh. And then he says, are you with me? Well, no. All right, look, the reason that serial killers all got three names is because you didn't want to just say, you know, Mel Jones, because there could be lots of Mel Joneses out there. So you add a middle name to it to make him distinctive. And yes, there's still going to be the rare person out there that has that middle name, but normally you don't hear that part. And so, therefore, the serial killer, that middle name is to set them apart from anyone else who might have that same name. And similarly, sorry, dude, the reason for three-name actors is because when you want to join the Actors Guild, if someone else already has your name, you are forced to pick another one, which is how Michael Douglas became Michael Keaton, all right? It's because, well, there was already a Michael Douglas out there and fairly well known. And so, therefore, he went with Michael Keaton. And so, again, if your name is taken, you have to pick a new one. So therefore, oh wait, but what if I add my middle name? Yeah, well, you know, and so you wind up with three named celebrities because that's how you distinguish yourselves when you join the Actors Guild. That's it. And it sticks. And some people, you know, drop the middle name affectation after a while because they've become well known enough that, you know, they can do whatever the hell they want. But a lot of them keep it. So. Although, I think we're gonna see less and less of that now, because nowadays, the naming trend, among millennials who are having kids, is millennials, and people even younger than millennials, want their children to have unique names. They want their children to have names that nobody else has. Because, they want their children to be able to sign up for Twitter, and get a Twitter account that is their name, without having to put numbers after it or you know, work around someone else with a similar name. They want their child to be able to buy the .com of their name without someone else already having dibs on it. It's that sort of thing. So having a unique name, a unique spelling, a weird punctuation to it, whatever, is important to people. So I think, now that you bring it up, yeah, I think because of that naming trend, we may well get to the point where you start seeing a lot less three-name celebrities because you don't have that many people with duplicate names anymore. I mean, they're still going to be out there, and it's still going to happen, but yeah, maybe not as often. So, good call. Last one, number 50. We'll go with lucky number 7 here. 50 is, 7 being 7 is the number of automatics we've done today. 50 is the number of this one. Ooh, Ronster gets his third for the day. What do you do for fun when your family's not around? I think I've answered this question before. When my family is not around at all, I go online. If I can schedule like an online gaming session with people during the time that my family's away, then hey, great. Two birds with one stone. I get to get that down while I was just gonna be home alone being bored anyway. And if I don't have something like that going on, I actually find that with no one else in the house, a lot of times it's like, suddenly I go to bed early. Or I just lay in bed and watch a movie until I'm tired and then just go to sleep. I do very little when my family's not around. So, there you go. They're my life and my inspiration. What can I say? Alright, anyway, that is the end of the Podomatic. I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS and she will give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2018 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk. My bumper music this week was Bread and Butter as performed by Devo, and She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, then you should subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write me a nice review or write me a really crappy review. I don't care as long as it's got 5 stars in it because that's what makes the difference. But if you want to do something super nice for this podcast, obviously, as I said before, recommend it to your friends. You're enjoying it. Spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Don't forget this podcast is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, which now includes me, Nerd Pride Radio, and Bicoastal Disorder. Awesome. Quality nerd podcasting from quality nerds. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Don't forget to send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums on Facebook for listener betrayal. And if you have a really interesting nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all that grueling research. Oh, except for 245. I already had somebody send me one for next week's episode. 245, so that one's covered. But if you've got one for 246, 247, 248, send them in. Save me all that grueling research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But, to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me, come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We'll become best friends in the world. We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal before I start recording every podcast. I go out to my forums, I go out to Facebook. If Aiden were here, he would be sending stuff out to the Platinum member list. And we say, hey, we are recording. If there's anything you want to talk about, that's where you post it up. We'll read it off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. And I'm going to make a prediction right now that there will be no listener betrayal. It's only been like a 30-minute show so far, so I will be surprised if anyone gets in. But let's find out. Ooh, Mike was wrong! There's actually quite a few responses on my website at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Let's see, the first one is from Eliahad. And Eliahad says, Mike, what's the worst thing about being stuck in a time loop? Oh, the frustration of the repetition, obviously. Let me see if I can guess what the next one says. Oh, it's from Eliahad. Mike, what's the worst thing about being stuck in a time loop? Oh, man, it is... It is the frustration of all that repetition. It is seeing it happen, knowing it's coming, giving it your best shot, and then realizing you're just going to have to do it all over again. I mean, Bill Murray finally figured out the solution in Groundhog's Day for him was just to be the best person he could be. And that means that every single day for how many days in a row, he has to constantly go save all those people and wind up, I mean, if he wants to save the most people, he's going to do the exact same thing every single day. Mind-numbing. Oh, but, you know, that's what happens if you want to learn a lesson. Next up, it is Eliahad, and he says, Mike, what's the worst thing about being stuck in a time loop? Oh, dude, it's the frustration of all that repetition. And then next is Eliahad. Mike, what's the best thing about being stuck in a time loop? Oh, when it finally ends. That's the best. Because then, you know, obviously, you've learned your lesson. You're a better person for it. That's how it works in most time loops, is that you wind up, you know, solving the murder mystery or becoming a better person or... I can't think of enough examples right off the top of my head. Next is from Eliahad, and says, also, have you listened to Flip the Table? No, I haven't. It's a podcast about weird, cheesy, and obscure board games. It's also now no longer making new episodes, so you can catch up on their past catalog at your leisure. I've listened to the whole shebang twice. Twice, he says. It's awesome. Ah, cool. All right, I will check out Flip the Table. I appreciate that. And then that's it for my forums. So let's go on over to Facebook and see if anybody loves me over here. Now recording episode 244. Comment here to join in. No backup. Oh, I can't see nothing. Nope, it looks like I'm going to be the first one to comment. So, hold on, let me say done. There we go. And that's it. Nope, there's nothing else in there. So, that's it. We're all done with this podcast. I appreciate you guys showing up, and hopefully I'll have Aiden back with me next week, and we will do something a little bit more detailed. And I love you guys. You're awesome. Talk to you later. Bye.